What I want to do is take you to the New Testament, to Ephesians. Let's just go to Ephesians 4 first, and then I'm going to take you through a few scriptures. Ephesians 4:18. We're talking about prayer, the importance of prayer, and prayer changes things. And in that context, let me just say this. Prayer will not do what the Word of God will do. It's not a substitute. And the Word won't do what prayer will do. Now, if you had to give up one or the other, you'd want to hang on to the Word. You've got to have the Word of God to get saved. But growing and maturing in God really is composed, just like growing in the natural, with two components. You have to eat, and the food would be the Word of God, is your spiritual food. But not only do you have to eat, you also have to breathe. And so prayer is like breathing. That's why Paul said, I pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Pray all the time. Well, you breathe all the time. And so prayer, if you could see it that way, so you can see where people get overbalanced on either side. There's some word people that say, you know what? I eat all the time. I'm the best eater you've ever seen. I love food, and I measure my food. I'm constantly eating food. I'm a great eater. Well, do you breathe? Oh, no, I don't need to breathe. I eat. I eat more than anybody you've ever seen. Yeah, but you still got to breathe. And then you got prayer people that say, I pray. I'm a prayer. I love to pray. I pray all the time. We were big on to prayer. But, well, do you? Yeah, but do you still eat the Word? Oh, we've gone. We don't need that. Well, just because you breathe doesn't mean you don't have to eat. And just because you eat doesn't mean you don't have to breathe. They work together. Breathing does one thing, and eating does something else. Prayer does one thing, and feeding on the Word does something totally different, and reading the Word, acting on the Word. So here these two things are mentioned, I believe, in Ephesians 4:18. Paul said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So this is talking about sinners, lost people. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. So why are people not saved? Here's what it says. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. So I believe this verse reveals two problems, not just one. Two reasons that people aren't born again. One is they're ignorant. Now, if ignorance was the only problem, does anybody know what ignorance means? It's lack of knowledge. They just don't know. If that was the only problem that we faced with the unsaved, then all you'd have to do is tell them and they would know. We could solve the ignorance problem just like that. Just tell them. But there's more to it than that. How many of you can see that there's more to it than that? They're not just ignorant. They're also blind. And some even, you know, charismatics have the idea, I'm going to go back. I've got filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to go back to my old church, my old dead church. They don't know what we got. And go back and tell them and get them all Spirit-filled. Have you ever tried that?
No, I'm not.
Wow. You're in for a rude awakening. Because you feel like all they just don't know. They're just ignorant. No, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, that's good.
They're ignorant and they're also blind. And if a person's blind, no matter how beautiful it is, the picture, the portrait, the masterpiece that you're showing them, they're not going to appreciate it until the light comes, until their eyes are opened. So I'm going to take this step and say this. I believe the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, obviously solves the problem of ignorance. But blindness is cured by the direct action of the Holy Spirit on somebody's life or a community or a city or a nation. Blindness, eyes are opened by a moving, a working of the Holy Spirit. Similar to what Jesus said, the Spirit will come. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world. He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. What does that mean? He's going to open their eyes. Now, I believe that the Spirit is released in a greater measure to open the eyes of the masses when we pray. Are you with me? And I'm taking time and I'm doing this deliberately because I want us to have a firm foundation. We're not praying to try to convince God to love people or save people. That's a done deal. That's already done. That's why we preach the good news. Why? Because we didn't have to go earn it. It's a good thing. We wouldn't have been able to earn it. So we preach it. We tell about it. But what do you do for somebody when you tell them and they don't listen? What do you do for somebody when you preach the word that they need and they don't accept it? What do you do for someone when they don't receive your testimony, the word, the truth, the gospel? What do you do for them? Skip them and go to somebody else? No, I believe you pray for them. You can pray for them. Pray the word. Pray by the Holy Spirit. Prayer in conjunction with the word of God gets the job done in a greater measure. Can you say amen? So you can't just, I understand that we live in a New Testament day, a New Testament dispensation, the age of grace, where God's already done everything he's going to do about your salvation. He's already done everything he's going to do about your healing. How many of you know you have that? It belongs to every person. That's true. There's no doubt about that. And we need to preach that and we need to say that over and over and get that message out. But people are only going to get as much of that grace as they're open to, as they accept, as they receive. And that can be influenced, I believe, by the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. Is that clear enough? So to back this up, I want to take you to the New Testament. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. And I want to give you several instances where Paul prayed. And we're going to just look at Paul's prayers. If you, let's go first to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Romans chapter 1. This is Paul speaking to the Romans. And he said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul was praying for the Romans. Well, why would he pray for the Romans? It seems like they were saved. There was a church there. They'd already accepted Jesus. But Paul followed their conversion up with prayer. He prayed for them. And he prayed for them always. Now, Paul didn't have a lot of free time. And he was not praying just because he had nothing else to do. It must have been valuable. It must have been necessary, or he wouldn't have taken the time to do it. Can you say amen? All right, go to Galatians 4, verse 19. "My little children, for whom I travail in birth again." Everybody say again.
Again.
So he must have prayed for them before. Yeah. Before what? Before they were born. Again, before they were new, they had the new birth. He prayed for them, and now he's travailing in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So there's the prayer for the Galatians when they were lost. And I can see Paul in my mind's eye going to Galatia for the first time, walking down some dusty road, and he's not there yet. God's told him to go there and preach the gospel, and he's saying, "Father, I pray that you go before me. I pray that you move on these Galatians. Open their hearts to the word of God. I'm going to go preach the word to them. Let it find its mark. Open their eyes to the truth. Draw them to the services. Let the right people come." Can you see Paul doing that? And then praying in the Holy Ghost and praying for these Galatians that he's not yet preached to. And then he starts this New Testament church and he's going back again and he's writing this letter and he says, "I'm still praying for you." Well, why would he do that? They must have needed it. It must have helped. It must have been valuable, or he certainly wouldn't have spent his time doing it. "I'm praying for you again until Christ is formed in you." See, we don't do this in a vacuum. Let me just go beyond that and say this. If every person on earth instantly accepted God's word the minute they heard it, You wouldn't need to pray for them. Why? Because Jesus did everything. They're fine. They've got everything they need. But how many of you know that it's a process? Work out your salvation. You grow in the things of God. And there's opposition. I mean, it would be nice if people got born again and instantly they just, the road was cleared before them and all their enemies were taken out of the way. They are defeated, but how many of you know they're not gone? And they're constantly trying to impede your spiritual progress. They're constantly trying to get you off track. The devil gave, he lost a huge battle when you got saved, but he didn't quit. He's very disgusted. You know how he works. Before you're saved, he says, you're okay. You're just as good as anybody else. And then you get born again, he goes, you're going to hell. You ever had that? He never quits. He's constantly trying to push you over the line. And there's all this opposition. And somehow prayer for the saints, prayer for people, it gives them a little space. It clears the way. It assists them in their spiritual progress. Is that clear enough? It must do that, or Paul wouldn't have wasted his time praying.
Right.
He would have just said, I'm going to rest. I got so much to do. I'm going to write half the Bible and start the New Testament church in the Gentile world and go to prison. I think I'm going to just rest when I have time. No, he was constantly praying in between because prayer did something that the word wouldn't do. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Again, he says to the Ephesians, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, now he begins to tell here what he prayed. I'm glad he did that. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I'm going to just simplify this for you. Paul was praying that they would see things. He was praying that their eyes would be opened. Right here, he's praying that they would see who they are, what they have, and where they're going. All things that Jesus has provided for us. So if you could keep in your mind these two things separate, the preaching of the word and the finished work of Christ, and prayer and the move of the Holy Spirit. Those are two different arms, the two different oars. We keep going back to that. But two different oars that both have their place and have their part. And so Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and give them wisdom and give them revelation so that when he preaches the word, they would understand it and receive it and get it and act upon it. Because you and I both know that you can do this really well, but people don't get it and they just leave. They're just like the stony ground. Nothing happens. I believe one of the ways to turn the stony ground into good ground is by praying for them. Pray over them. Pray what? Pray this. God, give them wisdom and revelation. Open their eyes. Help them to see. Notice he didn't say, God, help them defeat the devil. God, please help them purchase their healing. No, that's already done. That's not what he said. He said, help them to see what's already done. Help them to understand what belongs to them. Help me tell them what it is they need to know. Help me. How many of you believe the Spirit can help you? He can help. All right, let's go on. That's Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Again, he's praying for understanding, that they could comprehend the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. How many of you know it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to talk about things that are beyond knowledge? We're preaching about things that are invisible. that are not really accessed by the natural mind. That takes revelation. And evidently, revelation is increased by the working of the Holy Spirit upon people. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. So Paul is talking to people that are already saved, and he said, I am making requests for you. Well, why would he do that? Because it helps. It helps them. He's making requests for the Philippians every time he thinks about them. All right, let's go on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So now he's praying for the Colossians. He's praying for the Romans. He's praying for the Galatians. Paul's doing a whole lot of praying.
Yeah, that's right.
For people that are already saved. He's praying what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of it. There it is again. He's saying, look, there's all kinds of knowledge out here. There's a lot of truth here, but you need to get it. God help them get it. Help them get it. That must work. That must do something in the spirit. That must be effective, or he wouldn't have done it. God help them get the truth. Now, notice, you don't have to, these prayers are short. These prayers are pretty, you know, like I said, how many ways can you pray for rain? It's kind of similar each and every time that he says, here's, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you get it. I'm praying for revelation. I'm praying that you're filled with knowledge. Here's how simple it is. I could pray for Richard. He needs it. Lord, help Richard. Give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of. Let him be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Help him to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Let Richard be fruitful in every good work in the name of Jesus. So what did you just do? I just prayed for Richard. Did it do any good? It did just as much good as if Paul prayed for him. It did what prayer can do. How many of you understand? Words mean things. I just did something. I don't have to have a tear or a goosebump. I did something that's in God's word, and I did it for someone, and that's how things get done. And you can do it for your friends. You can do it for your enemies. You can do it for your church. You can do it for your city. Paul prayed for the whole Galatian church. So we can pray for groups. Is your faith in prayer? No, my faith's in God. And God works by His Spirit and through His Word. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. You know why Paul prayed that? Because it's possible to be a Christian and not walk worthy of the Lord and not be fully pleasing Him and not be fruitful. You ever seen a non-fruitful Christian? What do we do with a non-fruitful Christian? Beat him over the head with the Bible? Get fruitful, you backslidden buzzard. Get in the Word. Do something. Is that our last resort? No. You can pray for them. See, if they had their eyes open and they saw what you see, they'd be fruitful like you are. But there are varying degrees of deception. And Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, and the less you see, the less you're going to do, lest you're going to take advantage of. How many of you got saved before you knew there was anything else? And then you began to see, oh, there's the baptism of the Spirit. God does miracles. He can heal. He can deliver. He wants me to live in victory. All that is revelation that not every Christian has reached. And we need to tell them, yes, but we also need to pray that God would work in conjunction with our preaching. Why? I don't know why. But I'm telling you, that's what Paul did, didn't he? Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus prayed. Paul prayed. We ought to be praying. All right, so I'm just giving you actual prayers, New Testament prayers. Let's go to Colossians 4. Notice this, you're really going to... And there may be people take issue with me. That's all right. This is the Bible. I'm just going to read it to you. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What? Wait a minute. Why would he labor fervently? Well, because he's trying to get God to love you. Is that why he's laboring fervently? Is he trying to earn points with God? No, he's evidently, it helps. It must have done something positive. What was he laboring fervently for? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Isn't that cool? You see, people can get saved and just be shipwrecked the rest of their lives. It takes some determination. It takes faith. And evidently it takes some prayer for a person to get saved and finish their course. Because really, once you get saved, you become a target to Satan's seduction, deception, his lies, his attacks, his strategies. And so Epaphras prayed fervently for the Colossians. I believe it's true for churches and ministries. Pray what? That they finish. That they do all the will of God. Didn't it? Isn't that what he said? Did you know it's possible to do part of the will of God and not do it all? That's what's at stake. Once you become a Christian, there still are some risks. There are still things to be won and attained. How many of you know we don't get saved and then we just quit and wait for Jesus to come? There are things to be accomplished. There are things to be attained, and there's opposition to that. There's a battle that's going on. Now, we have the victory. Jesus is alive. Satan's defeated. But there's still a battle for your future, your destiny, your fruitfulness. Satan wants to nullify you. He wants to isolate you. He wants to neutralize you so that you don't really accomplish anything for God. And prayer helps to move the momentum in the spirit. You understand? It doesn't make any more of God's redemption available. That's already done. But it certainly gives people a little bit of space to see some things and make right choices. Didn't Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, destroy your life, but I have prayed for you. Jesus prayed for Peter. He didn't just say, Peter, would you just straighten up and quit being stupid? I mean, he did say that a time or two in other words, but he also prayed for him. Because Jesus realized there's a real battle going on for Peter's future, and he needs the truth, of course, but he's not going to need a work of the Spirit, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Peter's well-being. I'm going to pray for Peter's future. Boy, wouldn't you like to have, of course, Jesus is the intercessor. But how many of you believe that he shares that ministry with us? Just like he shares the ministry of the church, the New Testament preaching of the gospel with us. He didn't just do it all and say, that's it. Y'all just wait till I come get you. No, we enter in. We even share with them in his sufferings. Well, that's not popular. I don't even want to talk about that today. All right, go to 1 Thessalonians. Verse 2, chapter 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So he's praying for the Thessalonians. He prayed for the Ephesians. He prayed for the Galatians. He prayed for the Colossians. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for who? You got it up there? All men. Well, why would he tell us to pray for all men if it wasn't necessary? We need to pray for people. for kings and all that are in authority. So our prayers are not just limited to our church, are they? We can pray out, pray for others that are in a different place, a different city, different nation. You can pray as big as you want to pray. And then notice this in 2 Timothy 1. This is one of my favorites. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you. Who's this? Who's writing this? And who's he writing it to? Timothy. Now, if you know Timothy, Paul loved Timothy. That was his son in the faith. But notice what he said. He said, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Paul prayed for Timothy all the time. Say, why? Because he loved him. He was on his heart, on his mind. When he was on his heart and on his mind, he prayed for him, and that was a lot. I've envied Timothy. I would love to have the Apostle Paul praying for me night and day. How many of you know it would be a little harder to fail if you had somebody praying for you night and day? You'd make a few more right choices than maybe you would have before. There are things that would just work out better in the long run if somebody or you were praying out your future night and day. That'll work for your church. You ought to be praying for your church. You should be praying for your pastors. Praying for your city. Praying for your nation. Praying for your generation. Amen. And then Paul, I won't go to all the examples. So I don't want to take the time, but Paul asked them to pray for him. Isn't that's just so interesting that Paul said, pray for me. And they're like, wait a minute, aren't you praying for us? I mean, you're the expert. We're just the converts. No, he said, pray for me. Pray for me that I may speak the word with boldness, that I may give me open doors of utterance, that I may preach his word. See, can you see the two things working together? Paul's praying, I'm praying for you that you hear, understand, get revelation, and you pray for me that I will speak it clearly, that I'll speak it accurately, that God will open doors of utterance for me so that the word will have free course. So there's the Spirit and the word. There's prayer and preaching. There's the sower and the hearer, and God works on both ends. Thank God for the body of Christ. So as I said before, you can see that Paul was giving this idea that he's praying for them, they're praying for him. We're all supposed to really be praying for each other. Somebody was sharing with me that scripture in James where it says, if any man is afflicted, let him pray. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Pray. Prayer's good. Now, all prayer and no word is not good. And now, how many of you have seen those people? Well, I'm an intercessor. What I do is pray. And they're all real, you know, hyper-spiritual. So, well, do you study the word? Oh, no. That's like saying I'm a breather. I'm a heavy breather. I breathe all the time. I breathe more than anybody you've ever seen. When's the last time you've eaten? Oh, no, I don't need to eat. I breathe. I don't have time to eat. I'm just busy breathing all the time. No, you need both. How many of you believe we could do both? We could be both. Amen. Why don't you stand up? We've got a couple more sessions, so no need to try to get it all in one. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and take a moment and breathe. Not physically. No, I'm kidding. Let's just pray for just a few minutes for our city. Father, We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have been given the word of God. We are sowers, and the sower sows the word. We pray for the people. We pray for groups that have isolated themselves from you in this city. We pray for people who have turned their hearts against God. We pray for people that have walked away from you. They've been hurt or disillusioned. They've been done wrong by the ministry. We pray for people out there today that are brokenhearted, that are addicted, that are bound and they're deceived. Oh, Father, let the Spirit of God stir the hearts of men. Cause the Spirit of God to awaken men and women to the truth. Cause them to begin to search for you, because if they seek, they'll find. If they ask, it'll be answered. And if they knock, the door will be opened. And we pray that you work in conjunction with our labors. Bless our labors as we preach the word of God. Help us, O Lord, to preach the word of God with boldness and accuracy. And raise up laborers that would stand with us and preach the word of God. We pray for signs and wonders and miracles. We pray that you stretch forth your hand to heal over this city and over this nation. In Jesus' name, give us a place. Give us a platform that we've not had before. Give us a place of ministry and a place of authority that we've not experienced before for the good of people. Oh, Ramansa. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Shataramanza garadivisti praya. Rondoro boshiki frondara baskarada bahaya. Rondoro boshiki frondara boski di bandara diya. Rondoro boshiki frondoro boski te franda bahaya. Rondoro boshiki frondoro da basara da bakaya. Ronsa kandara banza. Reiki pronomanska redeviski frota pagada baya. Rondoro robonda, Ricky pronoman socramanda ravaya, Rondoro boschiri dividia. Oh, Ramanso Karabaske, Ransanda Rabasa che friki pambaradoskitia, Ronsakaramanso Karamanske de Deviski frata pakara. We won't give up on our generation. We don't give up on our nation. We won't give up on our city. We won't give up on the vision that you've given our church. Aramon Sakata, we pray that we'll do all the will of God, that we'll finish strong, that we'll make right choices, that people will be added to us daily. Aramanso Badabaskatara, Romba. Dedischi frotta pananinske de revisti frotta baganda ronda revia shoroninske da bahaya rondo roboski di revischi fronda mandando revischi frata baia ron sakaramanza rando freki panamanska robanamanske de revischi roskara da bando revischi frata baba ronde di revisti frotta bandara revischi fraya. We take hands with God. We join forces with God. We're partners with God. We release the strategies of God, the plans and purposes of God. Romba barari di shivre di boske di vihaya. Ron sakaramanska, Holy Spirit. Ringi bududi di ashadara bahaya. Woo the people. Draw the people. Those that are bound and oppressed. Open their eyes and their hearts. Shiki fronda de banza. Make a way for them to come to church, to come to the truth, to come to the knowledge of God. Help them to come to services and turn on the television and turn on the radio and hear the word of God preached with boldness. The word in season that they need to convert and to change and to renew. Shikivro no monsekete, ronsa mamma no sakata, ronsa manan sokatatara vashatara baskadaba. And Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Mansagadana manska, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. And there are unknown situations out there that exist. And we ask you to fill in the gaps and fill in the blanks and help us to pray according to the will of God for our city and for our church. Kanamanso, and our future. Moraninch tafrana monsa karabashka. Devisti prota papa ronseke frota pakanda radevisti ronseki fronda bandando radevisti frata bagada basaya ronsakana minske frota pakaraske radevisti frota baganda ronsakana manzga radeviri diviando radevia shatapai ora basakatai ora basakatabai. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We get that other oar in the water. And I know that prayer could be confused with works. But it's not, it is work, but it's not works. We're not praying to try to get God's approval. We're not praying to try to get God to want to save people. We're praying to release God to do what He is determined to do on earth. Because he won't bother you if you don't ask. But if your mama asks, or your pastor prays, or some other person starts to say, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Have mercy on, move in that situation. Things can get very uncomfortable, can't they? Thank God for the power of prayer. Not to earn anything, but just to release things, just to work along with God's laws. Praise the Lord. Prayer with thanksgiving. Let's not forget that. So we're going to thank God. Are you ready? Let's thank Him for what He's done in this conference, for what He's done in prayer, for what He's going to do. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not sad and depressed. We're filled with hope and filled with faith. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's just like we took another swing, didn't it? It's just like we just, you don't have to get everything done one time. We just advance the ball. And then we'll go eat. And then we'll advance the ball. And then we'll go sleep. And then we'll advance the ball. But on the inside, we never sit down. On the inside, we never back off. On the inside, we've taken ground and we're going to stick with it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor?
I know half of you are trying to understand what advance the ball means. They don't play football in America. They have a strange version. Wasn't that powerful? I don't think anybody's going to be able to walk away from here now and say, it's Old Testament, that stuff. We just heard it's New Testament. It's what Paul did. It's how they planted those churches. It's how they moved in the Spirit. It's how they saw the gifts. It's how they saw healings, how they saw the miracles, how they saw unusual miracles worked at the hands of Paul. Prayer is so important. Somebody said to me yesterday or the day before, they said, why didn't we have this conference a couple of years ago? And I said, well, to be honest, we weren't ready a couple of years ago. So many of you have come from backgrounds where prayer is a work, where your prayer time was the most stressed time of your entire life. And I know that because that's the background I came from. And, for some of you, your whole prayer life for years, some of you for decades, was running on a treadmill. And no matter how much effort you put in, you're still exactly where you started. And so when you started to come to us and we started to preach the gospel to you and tell you about the grace of God, it was like, oh, I'm just going to lie here a little while. This is nice. This is awesome. And I think we've reached a place where we've reached that place of rest for most of us now. And say, actually, running is actually part of the Christian life. But not running in circles, not running on a treadmill, but running to get somewhere, running to win the prize. And I'm so grateful Greg has taught this so clearly, so passionately, kept it in the realm of grace and faith, and led us forward so well. Honestly, this is what you've heard today has been so skillful. That doesn't happen by accident. And we're really grateful I'm very grateful that you're hearing it this way. Praise God. So it's now 1:15. Let's come back at 3:15, shall we? Let's give you a full 2 hours to have your life.